Grace and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The text for the sermon is the gospel lesson, especially in verse 12, come and have breakfast. Well, you know, we could turn and I could preach on the catch of fish and how that was an echo of the calling of Peter and John and Andrew and James to discipleship, and they would no longer fish for fish, but fish for men. Could perhaps preach on the recommissioning of Peter. Do you love me? Yes, Lord. Do you love me? Yes, Lord. Do you love me? Lord, you know that I love you. Could preach on all of the many times that Jesus appeared to his disciples having risen from the dead, but instead, let's go for the simplest and most ordinary item in the gospel lesson. Come and have breakfast. Ordinary and plain, isn't it? Oh, but this is the risen Lord. Shouldn't he be doing amazing risen from the dead things? Isn't he the glorified Lord who rules everything? And just to be in his presence, the disciples should be amazed and somewhat trembling. But just simply, breakfast. Fish on a charcoal fire and bread, and there's nothing amazing, nothing earth-shaking, and nothing miraculous. Just breakfast and sitting there on the beach eating with Jesus. A note here. This is after the work of salvation has been completed. The cross is done. The tomb is open. The resurrection has happened. And it, you could say, is in the resting time afterward. Sort of the Sabbath after the work. Which explains a lot about what the distant future will be like, what heaven will be like. Now, there is a before and an after going on, and before breakfast, notice the futility of what the disciples are doing. I'm going fishing. Without direction, they go back to what they know. Without results, toiling all night. Without a plan having to be directed. Without Jesus, no matter what we do, we are like the disciples out on the lake toiling all night and getting nothing. But then there is Jesus on the shore, risen from the dead, come to claim them, just like he claimed them toward the beginning of his ministry, and then he claimed them through the cross and empty tomb, as he claims us to be his own. Oh, and this would be the sign of Jonah once again. The sign of Jonah. And all of a sudden, there's fish all over the place, and then they're having to drag the net to shore. And getting there, they find fish already cooked and waiting for them. Do you remember what Jesus said to the Pharisees about the sign of Jonah? This generation looks for a sign. No sign will be given it except the sign of Jonah. For as Jonah was in the belly of the fish for 3 days, so must the Son of Man be in the heart of the earth 3 days. And so, of course, the early Christians used the fish as a symbol for Jesus. It was easily scratched in the dirt. It was easily written on the doorposts. After breakfast, there is planning ahead and the conversation with Peter, do you love me? And then telling about the finish of Peter's life and of John's. But in between, there are the disciples having breakfast with Jesus. And there are long minutes when there is nothing happening. There might be minutes where there is nothing said, no conversation, simply chewing and eating. There's no lecture, no parable, no teaching, or anything else, only breakfast. But that is something that opens up all kinds of wonderful things for us. Breakfast on the beach with Jesus changes everything in their life from that point on, because Jesus changes things, and it's a very different thing to go through your life with Jesus, very different from going through it alone. And that applies not only to the crisis times or the huge blessing times in life, it applies to the simple things, to the times when there is not much happening. Once Jesus has stepped into your life, nothing can ever be the same again. Once Jesus had been fishing with them and called them away from simple fishing for fish and called them to fish for men, they really couldn't go back. Once Jesus has stepped into our lives, nothing is the same. For students and those in school, not studying can't be the same, because you personally know the one who is the source of all knowledge and wisdom. For those of us with jobs, not working can't be the same, because as the old Hebrew saying goes, a man's work is his worship of God. Not farming, for those of you who grew up on farms. Because you have an intimate relationship with the one who gives sun and rain. Nothing can ever be the same again. This whole business of the breakfast, where not much happens, actually teaches us a whole lot about who God really is, what heaven is all about. We talk about the parable of the marriage feast of the Lamb in his kingdom, the predictions of great joy gathering together. And this picture in this gospel lesson gives us an interesting balance. Would it be okay if we got to heaven and there was sitting around snacking with Jesus instead of great pomp and circumstance? Those are the things that end up being more intimate. Think back to the beginning of the Gospel of John, chapter 1, verse 14, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. God chose to come and stay for, well, there was 30 years before even going about the formal ministry, and then another about 3 years before doing that 1 week of the work of salvation. But those 30 years were time for Jesus to simply be with his human brothers and sisters. That means the whole race. Or think back, way back, all the way to Genesis, to the Garden of Eden, and what God had planned to do. to come walking in the garden in the cool of the day, there to simply spend time with Adam and Eve. And all the work was done, all the work of creation, then to just spend that time. And they'd eaten the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil and broken the relationship. And so as God comes walking in the garden, he calls out, "Where are you?" And so began the long quest to put it all back together. It would lead through the times of the patriarchs and the times of the prophets. It would involve the Passover and the coming out of Egypt and the crossing of the Red Sea. It would involve prophecy after prophecy telling about the life of Jesus, where he was to be born, when he was to be born, even down to the small details, what day he would ride into Jerusalem, what day he would go to the cross. It would lead to a hill outside of Jerusalem. From there to a tomb, and then breaking that tomb to the time of the resurrection and the time of 40 days before ascending into heaven. And having finished the work of salvation, Jesus simply spent time looking forward in the Bible, toward the end of the Bible, Revelation 21, we find how God says, "Now the dwelling of God is with man, and he will be with them, and they will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God, and he will wipe away every tear from their eyes." We find one of the amazing things in the Bible is how delighted God will be to have us in heaven, to have us being with him, having purchased back and won back by his suffering and resurrection, having bought once again all of the days and years stretching out into eternity, that he could call us his brothers and sisters and simply be with us. All too often we think about what it means to be a Christian, and God is way up there, and there is all of this glory and all kinds of things going on that are beyond our knowledge or understanding. But then we find we are following a Savior. We are following a God who was simply happy to be with his disciples, sit there on the beach, and have breakfast with them. And that's a sweet lesson. In Jesus' name, amen.